You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. I am your host, Brett Bittner. You Can't Outrun the Fork examines healthy eating habits to break you out of the standard American diet and the problems that accompany it. We offer you a perspective on what it means to eat in a healthy manner from a variety of options and how we can fix our health by thinking about food differently. While I have an affinity for the ketogenic diet because it works for me, we will be examining a lot of other healthy eating options. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and subscribe using your favorite podcast catcher. You can always catch the latest shows at can'toutrunthefork.com. We are often taking your questions, comments, show ideas, and suggested guests via email at show@can'toutrunthefork.com. If you are new to the program, we do keep things short compared to other things on the network, usually only lasting about 45 minutes. If this particular episode isn't your cup of tea, I suggest trying some of the others in the feed. This show is for adults interested in avoiding the health issues that plague the standard American diet. However, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on this podcast. The conversations within are not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, they are a reflection of the experience of the host and guests, unless otherwise noted. Enjoy!
Kids are starving in Japan, so eat it. Just eat it.
Welcome back to another episode of You Can't Outrun the Fork. I have the opportunity to talk to a farmer. I've actually never had a conversation with somebody that is a farmer, specifically about food and about eating, and this is actually really exciting for me. I have the opportunity because of, as you heard on episode 10, I had my good buddy Jeremiah Morrell on, and we were talking about the fantastic things that he's been doing with the South Beach diet, which he called a kissing cousin of keto, which I would say is probably a pretty accurate assessment. But he suggested that a friend of his, a Newcastle, Indiana institution, that Kate Koger would come on and talk with us a little bit, or talk with me, for you guys a little bit about what it's like for him, what he's been doing, and what's worked for him. And he said that when he checked today, he's down 91 pounds since he started a clean eating way to lose weight, to feel better, all of the things that, you know, I found with keto and Jeremiah has found with South Beach and, you know, people are finding with a vegan diet. And, you know, one of the things that I want to make sure of is that we're getting a diversity of opinion. And we're offering a lot of options to people because, let's face it, we're all different, and it's not all going to work the same for each of us. We're all individuals. Our bodies are all different, and we're all going to find different ways to make sure that we are we're all going to need to find different ways to make sure that we're eating in a healthy way that's sustainable and that we can maintain. And so I'd like to welcome to the show Kate Koger.
How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Pretty good.
You got a big smile on your face. That 91 pounds is a pretty good number, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Yeah.
So where were you starting? Just a range of where you were starting in your weight loss.
So I started at 376.
Okay. That's a big number.
And that was in March.
Okay. So you're about 8 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing. Like, you know, it's easy for me to say, yeah, man, I'm eating keto. And, you know, it's easy for Jeremiah to say, yeah, man, South Beach all the way. And there are people like, yeah, Atkins. Oh, no, I'm a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. These are all the things that are working for me. What's working for you?
So what I've been doing, I started out, I got a membership to Anytime Fitness here in Newcastle. And it came with a free consultation with a personal trainer. And they kind of sit you down and they go over where you're at health-wise.
Okay.
And they weigh you and kind of do some different things. And then they sit you down and talk about your diet, and you go through what you're eating. And then they kind of make some recommendations on what they think would help to incorporate with you coming into the gym on a regular basis. And we discussed just trying to stick with whole foods as much as possible. So okay. just clean eating. And
now
then,
tell people a little bit about what you mean by whole foods.
So
you're not just going to Whole Foods Market every day, right?
No. Okay. That'd be too expensive for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, and it helps that I'm a farmer too. So we do a lot of produce. So I get stuff directly off the farm.
Okay.
With beef and produce and everything else that we grow throughout the summer. But basically it comes down to foods that are not highly processed.
Okay.
Foods that don't have a lot of additives. Any additives, it's just, you know, regular food.
So it's kind of the whole, when you go to the grocery store, you stick to the outside wall yep. and you do nothing in the aisles.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. As much as possible. Yeah. So, and then on top of that, you know, everything in moderation as far as that goes. And then six small meals a day is kind of what I've been sticking to.
Okay.
So,
did they give you a reason for the six small meals yeah, or is that just kind
that's just for metabolism.
Okay.
I kind of questioned it at first, but then I did it for, you know, the first month or two and was like, something's working, you know? So I think, you know, as soon as I wake up, I'll eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Between then and lunch, I'll eat something. Then I'll have lunch.
Okay.
Between lunch and dinner, I'll eat something. Then I'll have dinner and then I'll eat something right before I go to bed.
Okay. So you're eating all day.
Yep. Just all right,
small stuff.
Yep, small stuff. Nothing real crazy huge. And just sticking to that as much as possible. I can't say every day that's exactly how it goes.
Sure.
With work and everything else that I'm doing, I don't always have something with me to eat or I'm not always, you know, stop. But I try and prepare as much as possible.
Okay. Now, when you're a typical day, you're eating six times a day. How big are the meals that you're having? Or even are they even really meals? Or are they more like snacks?
I try a lot, like in the mornings. I'll have two eggs and some bacon.
Okay,
I'll take that with me. Sometimes, if I don't have time for that, I'll microwave like a little breakfast sandwich, and it's like a 180 calorie breakfast sandwich.
Okay, so are you counting calories when you're?
I'm trying to as much as possible. You know, I'm just again not trying to go overboard. Everything in moderation,
sure.
as much as possible. And then from there, you know, throughout the day between. You know, what you would consider your normal meals, which would be breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
I'll have something small. So, like, anything from a handful of almonds to some peanuts or, you know, peanuts work good for me because I can get a pocket full of peanuts and go,
right.
you know, anywhere I go. And that works for me. But, you know, everybody's different. Everybody can find their own little thing that fits their diet, I think. And I think that would help.
All right. Now, you know, the name of the show is You Can't Outrun the Fork. And mm-hmm. you're doing something that I don't think any other guest that I've talked to about weight loss is doing on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You're working out.
Yeah.
Now, you started the healthy eating because you were working out.
So, I guess to start it all,
uh-huh.
Last winter, about this time last winter, so farming, we were hauling corn, and I jumped off the semi to turn off an auger, and when I did, something in my knee popped.
Okay.
And I kind of struggled with it for a few months, and I ended up going to the doctor because I couldn't. It was just a lot of pain. So I went to the doctor, and we found out that I had three small pieces of bone chipped off in my knee.
Wow.
And it was kind of floating around behind my kneecap, and it would get caught, you know, between
sure.
the joint. So I had to have surgery and have that removed.
Okay.
So being a farmer, you know, I don't have any health insurance, so I had to pay for that out of pocket.
Wow.
So that wasn't fun. But yeah. more than likely, the reason it happened was because I was overweight.
Okay.
So that was kind of something that kind of clicked in my head, like, hey, you got to slow down. You got to find out what's going on and maybe try and fix this. Because I've always been just a heavy guy, you know,
sure.
my whole life.
Me too.
And always been self-conscious about it and just kind of went through life that way. And
you just kind of needed that one moment that
yep.
was like, you know what? I really need to
yeah.
change.
And I feel like I had myself convinced that it was a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And that I would never be able to do it myself.
Right.
And then, you know, that happened. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to give this a try.
Okay.
And I hate to say it's easy, but you know, it's not. It's hard at times, but it's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
For sure.
So kind of getting back to mm-hmm. anytime and your gym routine, and you're doing more than just that too. So just kind of tell us what's happening for you.
Okay.
You know, in the last episode when I talked to Jared, he's just too busy to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty busy guy. I don't really have time to work out. Luckily, what I do gives me a lot of exercise, but it isn't like concentrated working out. But I have found that over the last year, as I have embarked on this journey, that I have a lot more energy to mm-hmm. do a lot more stuff. So tell me what working out is like for you, what you're doing, and then kind of give me a progression, if there is one, of how easy it has been as you've lost those 91 pounds to kind of keep that and even add things to your regimen.
Mm-hmm. So I got the membership at Anytime Fitness basically solely for the reason that I can go anytime that I need to. So
okay.
With my work, I'm married and I'm also a dad. I've got two little boys, so they keep me busy too.
Sure. You
know, when I'm not at work, and I've just found that making time for working out has worked out best for me. And I go from 11 to 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
When I do go.
Now you're talking at night. Okay.
Night.
Not lunchtime,
yep.
but at night.
Yep.
Okay.
At night. So it's not ideal. I would love to do it, you know, in the mornings, but normally in the mornings I've got other things going on.
You guys
on.
Rise early to yeah. get out and yep. get the stuff done on the farm. Sure.
So, you know, I think eventually I might try and make that switch and go real early and
okay.
you know, try and go to bed as early as I can and
sure.
get up at four or so, you know, and
right.
go. But as far as right now, I've been sticking with the 11 to 1:30, and I'm going Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays as much as possible.
Okay.
And then on the weekends, you know, when I have that time free.
Now, what are you doing when you're at any time on those 3 days a week and the weekend?
So when I started, I had a friend, Rich Lee. He was doing the same thing.
Okay.
And so I'd never really been to a gym. I'd never been around weights.
I
didn't know what I was doing. It's pretty scary. You know,
right.
You really don't know what you're
it's
doing.
It's very intimidating
it
if you have no idea
yeah.
what's going on. Sure.
And so I started going in with him, and he started walking me around and showing me everything and kind of the philosophy, his okay. philosophy on just lifting weights, cardio on the treadmill, you know, how to work different muscle, and just building on top of that. So
okay.
like a normal day for me would be I'll go in and I'll either walk and I try and jog every 5 to 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
On a treadmill, and I'll do it at an incline too. But I try and go for 4 miles.
Okay.
And whatever I can get inside of an hour on a treadmill.
Sure.
And then when I get done with that, then I go and start lifting, and whether I'm doing upper body or I split upper body and lower body depending
okay.
on the days. Yeah, that way you've got a day or two to recover.
Sure. And I imagine with the physicality of your job, you're probably setting those for when you know you're going to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Arm and back day is probably not going to be the day before you have a really tough day at work.
Yeah, I try and time it out that way that I'm not really struggling at work, but sometimes you can't help it. You just got to kind of push through being sore. And
right.
really, after a while, you get used to it and you kind of enjoy being sore.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But, yeah, I'll stay in there. Whether I'm doing upper body or lower body, I'll stay in there and lift for about an hour.
Okay.
In that cycle.
So you're doing about an hour of lifting and an hour of cardio each time you go to the gym.
Yeah, somewhere.
So you're doing that 3 to 4 times a week.
Yep.
What else are you doing?
So on top of that, I also found Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
So I go to Muncie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Tell me a little bit about what that is. I have a good idea. I have some friends that do mm-hmm. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I've never really, like, honestly, all the martial arts to me seem like they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
So tell me a little yeah. bit about that specifically.
So Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I guess you could say its roots came from traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
And it's what they would teach it was what they grew up teaching their soldiers on fighting hand-to-hand techniques.
Okay.
It was taught to a guy that went to Brazil, and he kind of took off on his own with it. I hope this is the right story, but as far as I've researched it, this is how it came out.
Okay.
So then it came from him, and everybody's heard of the Gracie family with jiu-jitsu and MMA, and everybody knows them.
Okay.
So it's basically, all it is grappling.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no striking in what we do.
Okay.
It's all mostly fighting off the ground. So
okay.
off your back, submissions. It's basically simulated murder.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Yeah, I find a lot of fun. And really, out of my whole workout routine,
mm-hmm.
It's really what I look forward to the most
okay.
on the week. And I've only been going since, let's see, August. So I'm not, you know, I'm
a super, 4 months
I'm not a super expert. I'm still just trying to survive, you know. I'm one of the bigger guys that goes, but I'm still, you know, you understand that it works when you go and there's a 140-pound guy that taps you.
Right.
You know, it's humbling. You got to be humbled about it and really be there to learn. And I feel like I've learned a lot just in the little time that I've gone, and I have a lot of fun with it.
Okay. Now, you have a pretty active job as a farmer. Do you think there was anything maybe that can you point to anything that kind of got you to the point where you were looking at the upper threes when you were like, gosh, was there anything, the way you were eating, any of those things? You know, I've talked about growing up, you know, I drank soda all the time. I had a terrible diet. I talked on the last episode with Jer, you know, I talked about going to Krispy Kreme and getting a dozen hot donuts because the sign was on and they'd be gone in 2 days. Did you identify any unhealthy eating habits that you've since corrected?
Oh yeah, I mean I've completely changed everything about the way that I eat.
So tell me, before you started on this back in March, before you had the epiphany after the knee surgery and all that, what was your everyday kind of diet like?
2 or 3 44-ounce Mountain Dews.
Oh yeah, okay.
That was kind of my
lots of sugar.
My Red Bull for the day, you know, it kind of get me through, and then just basically eating whatever I wanted to eat.
Okay,
it was horrible.
All right,
wake up first thing in the morning, and I don't think if I ate anything at all in the morning, it would just be a huge bowl of cereal.
Okay, lots of sugar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So and then lunch, we would. Whether it's brought to the field or we go in town somewhere to eat, you know, we'd go to a Pizza Hut buffet and just smash Pizza Hut buffet or
right.
Sparky's Doghouse and have a big greasy steak sandwich and
okay.
or, you know, giant tenderloin and, you know, all the bread that I could
right.
that I could stuff in my mouth. I felt like I was eating that and you know, I didn't think twice about candies or chocolates or, you know, sweets or anything like that. I just didn't know. I didn't understand what that was doing. You know why I was so heavy was because of that.
Okay. So now you're not doing that. You're eating 6 small meals a day. You're eating whole foods. What did you have today? You've probably gone through 4 or 5 of your 6 meals today.
Yep.
Kind of give the listeners an idea of what that looked like for you. You said early in the morning, you know, you'll often start with bacon and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that?
I'll go to, on my way into work, I'll stop at the, I'll either, if I don't have it at home, I normally keep a bag of like almonds at home.
Okay.
If not, I'll stop at the gas station or something. And I normally stop there anyway and get one of those giant waters. I drink a lot of water now, by the way.
Oh yeah,
I don't drink
me
any
too.
Pop. It's all water. I might drink a gallon of water a day, if not more.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm 3-4 liters a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And so while I'm in there getting that, you know, I'll grab a small bag of almonds or something. I'll just put that in my pocket or my shirt pocket, and that's just what I'll have.
Something to munch on.
And I'll between. Have half of that in between, you know, lunch and breakfast, and okay. then the other half I'll have between lunch and dinner.
Okay. So now what's lunch look like?
So
we know the mid-meal snacks.
Mm-hmm.
What you got for lunch?
So lunch, I always try and stick with salads
okay.
for lunch here lately. I really like, as far as being fast and convenient, mm-hmm. Arby's has an awesome salad.
Okay.
Turkey on top. And that's a really good salad. Mancino's in town. They mm-hmm. have good salads.
Okay.
And really, I mean, if you had to, you could get one from just about any of the other fast food places and just watch what you put on it, you know?
Yeah. You gotta be careful with a lot of those.
Yeah. So, and then from there, like I said, we'll have another snack between there and dinner, and then dinner. Normally my wife will cook something, and
okay.
she's trying to do the same thing now too.
Okay.
We've got a 6-month-old, so she's working on, you know, getting rid of the baby fat that she's still got going on. But
now,
she's doing really good with it too.
Now, so. With that, did she see your success and then get started? Or was it just a matter of she couldn't get started until she had the baby?
Actually, let's see. It was probably 2 years ago after my first son was born. She went to Stu Hamby's in town, mm-hmm. the Women's Fierce Boot Camp, and she lost, I want to say, close to 50 pounds okay. doing that. And so she had success before I did with any of this.
Okay. Usually it's the other way around. Yeah. Usually when a couple kind of embarks on a journey like this,
mm-hmm.
it never fails that the dude is yeah. the one that sees results first.
Yeah. And then so she had success first, and then we decided to have another kid. And then I came into these health problems and then decided to start it myself. And then we had the kid, and then now she's working on getting back to where she was before that. So if anything, you know, that helps a lot too, because I feel like, you know, partially probably the first time that she got off of her diet or got off of working out was because I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally understand.
Hold each other accountable for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm eating bad, she's probably going to eat bad too.
Right.
So now that we're both eating healthy, it's a lot easier for her, you know, to come home for dinner and she's got something made that's healthy and good to eat. She's always looking at stuff online and kind of trying new things. And
Pinterest is your friend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pinterest. And recently we've been getting stuff off of Onnit.
Okay.
Off, Joe's website. So
okay. Nice. Yeah. So, you know, I actually noticed that it does take both people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have found Morgan and I were in a long distance relationship. We have been since May. We see each other frequently, you know, at least once a week. You know, either she comes to Indy or I go to Cincinnati, and all of that's going to be changing here in the next month. But I have found that I am like the best keto eater when it's just me at home and I'm mm-hmm. just like cooking stuff for myself and it's all on me. And then I just kind of blow it on the weekend when, you know, I'll find a reason to go and do something, or, you know, I'll find a reason to eat this, or, you know, the rare and appropriate kind of stuff that I've yeah. talked about. You know, it's really interesting to see that I can, you know, kind of be amazing during the week. And then on the weekend, I just totally screwed it up because we, you know, we went to Holtman's for, you know, oh, well, I got to get a donut because it's Holtman's, or, you know, somebody makes something and well, I gotta try it. It would be rude not to, but I found that yeah, man, during the week when she's not around, I am amazing at sticking to the way of eating. And so we'll see how that works from where, you know, and she's always been supportive, so it's not like I have anything to worry about. But I totally understand what mm-hmm. you mean about needing everybody kind of together.
Yeah.
To kind of get your goals and to make sure that you're eating the right way.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not perfect when it comes to eating. Like you said, sometimes you just yeah. fall off the wagon and for whatever reason. But the important thing with that is just to get back on.
Absolutely. You know, well, we talked about that in episode 8, where we talked with Paul, where he was talking about his journey thus far and kind of how he fell off and he was just getting back on, when we recorded episode 8. And that, to me, I think is very indicative of kind of what you need to make sure you're doing. If you do fall off, just get back on.
Yep.
It's going to be easier to get back on each mm-hmm. time. It's, you know, you already know what to do. It's just a matter of breaking the cycle. And, you know, we talked with Paul about food addiction and the things with him. You know, it was easy to fall off, but he said he made it even easier to get back on
yeah.
because he already knew what to do. Yep. And he was able to get right back into the swing of things. And that was the way that he was able to keep himself accountable. You know, you knock somebody down 9 times, you just got to make sure that you get up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready for that 10th. But, you know, getting back up and getting back on is one of the most important things, because, you know, dropping or falling off one meal is not going to hurt anybody.
Yep.
It's when you string those together where yeah. it's a day or a week, and then yeah. everything just kind of goes off yeah. kilter, and it's all about coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you started out with 6 small meals. You're still doing that.
Trying to as much as possible. Yeah.
But you've changed a little bit from just the straight up whole foods. You've kind of adapted to something that's a little less sugar, a little less carbs.
Yeah, I would. Well, I don't know. They call it Paleolithic.
Yeah.
So caveman diet.
Yeah.
I heard this on Joe Rogan too. But it's really what I've kind of gone to is in trying to stay out of the carbs as much as possible.
Sure.
So there might be 2 or 3 days where I won't have any carbs of any kind at all.
Okay.
And then for whatever reason, I'll have a wrap or something that's yeah. easy. and or it just happens to be what comes to the field when they bring lunch or dinner. Sure. You know, and if that's what I've got to pick through, then that's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah. Yep.
So, but there again, you know, if I have something like that and, you know, you go off the trail for a little while, it's okay. It's just making sure you get back on that trail. And I feel like every time I have a meal now, I'm conscious about it.
Okay.
So you're thinking about what you're eating. And if it's something that's not healthy, then everything you ate up until that point, in my mind, was worthless.
Okay.
So if I'm eating healthy for a whole week and it comes down to eating something bad,
mm-hmm.
I have in my mind, if I eat that, then everything that I've done all week is pointless. And that makes me not eat that. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I find an alternative.
Okay. So you're more of an abstainer then. You don't want to moderate some of the things that you otherwise would want to eat.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to abstain from the bad
I would
stuff.
Just, okay. And I would just call that discipline,
yeah.
I guess.
No, it is.
Yeah.
But you know what works for you because there, you know, I have found that I can moderate some things.
Yeah.
You know, I can have a little bit of this or a little bit of that or one of these every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I've talked to a lot of people about their successes and their struggles, specifically people who have come to me asking me about keto, you really fall in one of two camps. It's either the abstainer camp or the moderator camp.
Yeah.
And I found that I do a really good job in the moderator camp and that I don't go overboard. But for the most part, I'm in the abstainer camp. I don't have that same feeling that you do, that I've ruined the last week because of one thing. But mainly because I really don't have that many options. I'm not eating 42 meals in a week.
Yeah.
I maybe eat 10.
Yeah.
But that's because of the intermittent fasting and things like that. So when you said you cut out a lot of the carbs unless it's carb load, or not really carb load day, but a workout day.
Yeah, if I know it's going to be a workout day, I'll try and isolate it to those days.
Okay.
Because I'm going to do my very best.
So you,
if anything, that gives me motivation in the gym to really push hard.
So your thought is, I'm going to work it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
whether that's in the gym or whether it's at jiu-jitsu, because jiu-jitsu alone, if nobody's done it before, it is a workout.
Okay. Yeah, I imagine so.
By the time I'm done with that, I am just done for the day.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes I'll feel really good about it. I'll have a good day, and I'll feel really good about it, and I'll go into the gym even after a jiu-jitsu session. But other than that, you know, you go to one of those, and I go for 2 hours at a time for those classes.
Oh, yeah.
After rolling for 2 hours with guys and
you're probably
it's bad. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, you feel pretty good though the next day, and I feel like I've got a lot more energy now.
Okay. Now, do you think that the energy that you have is because of the change of the fuel, or is it because of the workout?
I think it's probably a good combination of both, I would say.
Okay.
It's just, I feel like I'm running on clean energy,
you
know, clean fuel, and I've not got everything all gunked up in me, you know, from stuff that
you're not having
eat,
those peaks in the valleys where you crash in the afternoon after lunch, and you're keeping that energy up. You know, I found that for me too, in that, you know, I was literally changing the fuel from being a sugar burner to a fat burner.
Yeah.
And I found that, you know, it was much more even for me as I was burning fat rather than burning sugar, because I would see in the morning, I would have to stop and get something on the way in. I would have to get, you know, I would have to drink something with caffeine. You know, I would have to have lunch. I would have to have something in the afternoon to kind of pick me up. I would have to have something at dinner. I would have to have something for dessert, because it was peaks and valleys for me.
Yeah.
It was energy, no energy. Energy, no energy. Or it was, I feel normal, or I feel like crap. I feel normal, I feel like crap. And I actually thought for a while that, you know, I was having some hypoglycemic issues, because when I wouldn't eat and I would have that blood sugar crash, that I had headaches and I just felt terrible about it. But it was because it wasn't an even, and it was because I was feeling the crash, and it was all that sugar going, you know, finally out. You know, if my blood sugar dropped, which sometimes it didn't, but I could feel that I needed to refuel on the sugar. Since it's been flat, since it's been burning fat, you know, I don't have trouble sleeping anymore, which is amazing. And is that something that you're finding? And I had it because let's face it, I was hopped up on caffeine all day and sugar and garbage. And then I would just have trouble falling asleep. And then I would have trouble waking up in the morning. Now my head hits the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I have something to actively engage my mind, my eyes close and I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I get up in the morning without an alarm about 6:30. Never fails. What is your energy level like? And is it kind of maintained? Are you, you're obviously feeling more energy than you had.
Oh, yeah.
When you were bigger.
Yeah.
Is it a lot? Is it a little? You know, I've talked about how, you know, I actually want to go do stuff. I want to run a 5K. I want to climb rocks. I want to go hiking. I want to do these things because I feel better now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of where you are, or is it the reverse? That you're doing these things so you feel better, or you want to do these things because you do feel better?
Yeah, I definitely want to do these things because I do feel better.
Okay.
I never had trouble going to sleep.
Okay.
But I mean, now that I think about it, yeah, when I do lay down to go to sleep, I just go right to sleep because I feel like by the time I get in bed, I'm just spent because all day long I'm 110% all day long. And then, you know, it's made it a lot easier for me to wake up. I always had trouble waking up.
Yeah.
You know, I was always tired. It's hard to get up, hard to get out of bed.
Right.
Now I'm just, you know, springed up and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's made a big difference there. And then, like I said, throughout the day, I'm just all over the place. I'm just ready to go all day long.
Now, do you have a smartwatch or anything
that
keeps
track of
steps?
No, it's something I've been looking at. It's something I've been, hopefully for Christmas I'll get something.
All right.
But yeah, it's something I've been looking into. I'd really like to be able to keep track of it. I think it would help me out, you know, to know how active I am.
You are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's amazing when you think you're active and you don't have any measurement for it.
Yeah.
And then when you see when you really are active, what that feels like.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, now I understand the difference between 10,000 steps a day and 3,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
I feel much better when it's 10 and, you know, or I feel much better when it's 3, depends on, you know, kind of how you feel and how you're eating and stuff like that. But I think that's going to be something that I definitely want to revisit when you have an opportunity.
Sure.
With a smartwatch or, you know, whatever it is. Hopefully you get it for Christmas.
Yeah.
So what are some of the pitfalls that you have found with the way that you're eating, the exercise that you have, something that you weren't expecting, or you'd want to warn somebody who's just kind of jumping in with going to the gym 3-4 days a week and trying Brazilian jiu-jitsu? And what are some of the things that you'd be like, I wish somebody had told me to expect this?
You're going to be sore.
Okay.
You're going to be sore a lot.
Okay.
And it's really going to be, if you're just going to go to the gym and work out, you're going to be sore, like really bad sore, probably for, I would say, the first month or two.
Okay.
Then you're going to get used to it. And then you're really going to appreciate it. You're actually going to, think, well, I'm sore. You know, I really feel like I earned it, you know,
okay,
the night before. And for me, it always seems like 24 hours after a hard workout, that's when I'm the most sore.
Okay.
Now,
do you do ice baths or cryotherapy or anything?
No, I don't do anything like that. I guess I don't feel like I go that hard.
Okay.
Eventually, I might need to. But no, as far as that goes, I mean, just, you know, do your stretches. You know, be stretched out by the time you get in there for either lifting or whether you're going to jiu-jitsu. That's a big thing, too. And with jiu-jitsu, there's going to be parts of your body hurt that you didn't know.
Yeah.
That could hurt.
Now,
because it's definitely a whole, like, total body type of workout with that.
Now, you mentioned stretching. Are you looking at anything like yoga or Pilates or anything to kind of help balance out the muscle building and the grappling stuff that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that's making you super sore? Are you looking at anything like that to kind of balance it out?
I've not looked into it.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of people say a lot of good things about it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's off the table. I wouldn't say it's something I wouldn't do. I know some people, I think, that go to the Y here in town, go to a yoga class. I would give it a try.
Okay.
It's definitely, you know, now that I have the energy to do something like that, it's something I would give it a try.
Yeah. I don't know if you listened much to the network, but Harry Price and I, at the beginning of 2017, we embarked on a yoga well, really, it was the first 4 months of the year. We were going, gosh, three times a week. where we were going, you know, and we made Saturdays kind of the day where we would go to yoga and we would go to brunch, and you know, we just had a lot of fun with that. But I found that this was at a time as I was really, it was in the rapid weight loss, in the first half of the year that I've changed the way that I eat. But I found that that really helped to kind of center me, and it helped me with a lot of other things. It helped lead me into things like meditation. I've been a big fan since I started doing it. And I know you're a Joe Rogan fan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried floating or any of that stuff?
No, nope. That's all stuff I'd like to try.
Okay.
If I ever get an opportunity to try it, I'd definitely give it a try.
All right. Well, I mean, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Have you tried meditation or any of that stuff, just to kind of, you know, cause you go so hard at mm-hmm. work and the workouts, I'm just curious to know if there's anything you do to kind of decompress or help you with, kind of balancing that out.
Nope, I have not tried meditation.
Just being a dad,
yeah,
and a husband, and a farmer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. As much as, and just staying active. I think, you know, when I do get sore, the worst thing you can do is just sit at home.
Yeah.
And do nothing. You know, just whether it's work, or I do a lot of hunting. I do a lot of deer hunting. I could do that and go out and do a lot of walking with that, you know, and that feels good to get out and do.
Sure.
I feel like I've got a lot more energy to do things like that now. I can go, you know, 3-4 miles from the truck rather than
right
200 yards and be out of breath.
Yeah. No, that's something that for me was unbelievable. The joke when I was big was, man, I am so big that I sweat just thinking about going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, man, 37 has felt better than 27 did, and way better than even 22 did, just because of the amount of energy and the changes for me. For you, what is probably the biggest thing that you've noticed aside from the weight loss? I mean, 91 pounds, that's no joke.
Just aside from the weight loss, I would just say I don't turn things down. Like if there's a family function, or if there's, you know, if the wife wants to go shopping, or if there's something to do with the kids, to go out and play with the kids, like I'm not lethargic and
okay.
sitting at home.
Oh, that's awesome.
Doing nothing. You know, I've got the energy, you know, now to do whatever I want to do.
Okay.
That feels great.
Because that's going to make you a better husband,
mm-hmm.
better dad,
yep,
and probably doing more for you on the farm too.
Oh yeah,
and you know, just a better all around. You just feel better. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, what else is going on? What are you? I mean, jiu-jitsu, the gym. You're more active generally. You're eating better. You're working hard all day.
Another cool thing right in the middle of harvest,
uh-huh.
it's always, so I've chewed tobacco
mm-hmm.
since I was 16 or 17.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Right in the middle of harvest, I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm
yeah.
not doing this anymore. I've done this workout thing. I've done the weight loss thing. You know, I've got confidence in this. I've got confidence in myself. I know that if I say today, if I woke up one morning, I just said, you know, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to go to the gas station and buy, you know, 2 cans of chew.
Yeah.
Because I was going through 2 cans a day.
Wow.
And it was right in the middle of harvest when I'm chewing the most. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're in that combine, and that's just what keeps you focused, I guess, or it's what you get used to.
Yeah.
And that day I just said, you know, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. And I quit cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
So
nice.
Going on a month and a half now without any.
Oh, congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know that's tough. I went through the caffeine withdrawal thing
mm-hmm.
when I cut out everything, you know, at the very beginning. Sweet tea was my caffeine delivery method.
Yeah.
And so when there's no more sugar in sweet tea, there's no more caffeine. It wasn't
yeah.
until the last, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks or so that I even reintroduced caffeine through Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
I found a drink that I could kind of concoct at Starbucks that kept me keto. And I wasn't doing caffeine until recently, but you know, it was really interesting to see cold turkey, what that's like.
Yeah.
Have you, do you find any ill effects, or was it all of the great stuff that was happening just kind of pushed you through and you haven't even really
felt the withdrawal? Even better. I felt like it was holding, awesome. I felt like it was holding me down. That nicotine was keeping me down. And
okay.
It was to the point where I was just dependent on it, you know, for the day.
Okay.
And I mean, I would go through mood swings if I didn't right. have it. And I just, you know, I was just tired of it. I was tired of being a slave to it, and just decided that day I was going to quit and made the decision, held the line, and here I am.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to give the listeners? We'll give you a chance to self-promote if there's anything about that later, but anything that you're just like, you didn't cover it, and I really wanted to say it. This is your opportunity to do that. Is there anything that you'd be like, yeah, man, I really wish you'd ask about this, so I'm just going to tell you anyway?
You know, I think it would just be encouragement.
Okay.
For people listening. If you've not started or you're looking to start, definitely start.
Okay.
My favorite quote is, I said it just the other day. It said, if you don't start today, you'll wish you had in the year.
Okay.
And
nice.
That rang true because yeah. it's always like, oh, I'll put it off for another year. I'll put it off for another right. year. And it just came down to it. You know, you just have to make that decision. You know, walking into that gym and talking to them and getting your membership, that was probably the hardest day for me.
Okay.
Because that was facing it, saying, hey, look, you've got some health issues. You need to get worked out, you know, being a dad and being married, and this is going to be for the best. It's going to be for the best for your family and, you know, my career. And just making that decision to get in there and do that one day has made this entire change.
You know? Nice.
That's the reason I've lost 91 pounds. That's the reason I've quit chewing tobacco. That's the reason I have all this energy to do.
It's the journey of 1,000 miles. You take that first step.
Take that first step.
Nice.
And I feel like a lot of people, you know, me included, I just had myself convinced that it was something I couldn't do.
Sure.
And, you know,
I remember feeling that.
You don't know until you try.
Right.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And since then I've started, you know, it also makes me feel great that I've got a lot of people that would message me or, you know, let me know like, hey, you know, you're doing really good with this and it's inspired me to start. It's inspired me to do this and keep going.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes me feel pretty good about it too.
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing to see folks in my friend circle who are like, yeah, man, I love what you're doing. I'm going to do it too. Even if it's not directly that, I was really excited when, you know, I heard that Jer was doing things. And, you know, just people around me are just trying to seek out a healthier lifestyle. And to me, that's really, really important because I saw the change that it was for me. And I would love for people to have that feeling. I got a photo text earlier today from a friend of mine who started keto back in August. And when she started, she needed a seatbelt extender mm-hmm. on an airplane.
Yeah.
And when she flew in September, she didn't need the extender, but it was still maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
She flew today and she actually had like 4 inches of the seatbelt, like extra.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, there are little things, little non-scale victories,
mm-hmm.
even scale victories, that are going to be out there that are going to encourage you. And what's amazing to me is how many people kind of flock to you when they see that success. And they're one, encouraging, and two, they're asking genuine questions because they really want to know how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really genuinely interested in what they can do to at least improve their health, even if it isn't what you're doing, what they can do to live a more healthy lifestyle. So if folks are like, man, I really liked what that Cade guy had to say, where can they find you on the internet? What can they, you know, what's the thing you'd want to to tell people about, when you have an audience to tell them?
You can add me as a friend on Facebook.
Okay.
Just search Cade Coger. I'm on there. You can add me on Instagram, at the Armed Farmer.
Okay. Nice.
In my spare time, I do a lot, on top of jiu-jitsu, I do a lot with firearms.
Okay.
So I have a lot of fun with that. I have firearms training. Other than that, you know, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer any questions. Somebody shoot me a message. If you need any help or suggestions or anything like that. And I like what you said too. It's not, you know, what's working for me isn't going to work for everybody.
Sure.
Everybody's going to find something that it's different for them. But if you have any questions for what I'm doing, I'd be glad to answer any of that.
How do we buy your beef?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, so part
so,
of...
So Jer is here because we recorded two episodes at the same time or on the same night, and he asked, how can people buy your beef?
Okay. So my farm, L&K Farms.
Okay.
We're located in Newcastle, Indiana.
Now, that's L and K, not L-N-K, right?
Yeah, L-N-K.
Okay.
So I've got two brothers. So I've got an older brother, Corey, and a younger brother, Cole. So I run the part
of
the farm.
Man, your parents loved alliteration, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. We're all K's, even my two boys.
Okay, nice.
Cannon and Knox.
Okay.
So, but so I run kind of the row crop portion of the farm with my dad. My older brother, Corey, he runs L&K Produce.
Okay.
So we raise just a wide variety of farm fresh produce here in Newcastle.
Now, are you guys doing that through like a co-op, or are you just like
us
getting
just
it to the
us on our own? Yep.
Okay,
we're located on North State Road 3, okay. So just north of the prison. If you're familiar with Newcastle,
That's Newcastle, Indiana, because we do have a lot of folks from outside of Indiana
okay.
that may not know.
Okay.
Newcastle is in the eastern part of the state.
Yeah, east central. Yeah, so on top of the produce that we sell there. It's just like a regular farm stand. Like if you drive by,
okay.
It's really the same thing. On top of that, we also, started selling our own beef.
Okay.
So my little brother, Cole, he runs the cattle part of our farming operation.
Nice.
And we finish, typically around 500 head of beef cattle a year.
Wow.
So feedlot beef cattle. And we started selling, retail there with the produce, and that's really worked out great for us.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a good outlet for people that want to buy locally grown, you know, meats. Right now it's just beef, but we're looking at expanding,
okay.
You know, possibly get into some pork and some other things, as we go on and progress.
Now you said a feedlot, we're talking grain fed then beef.
So we've got right around 70 cow calf.
Okay.
So we'll breed our own cows, and they start off on grass.
Okay.
And then they go, when they enter the feedlot, they go from a mixture. So it's really down to a science now, if you're not familiar
gotcha.
With livestock farming. But it's down to a science now, and they're on a ration program from Purina called AccuRation. And it's a mixture of hay, grasses, sometimes straw, silage, haylage, everything that we produce on our farm, we feed to our cattle.
Okay.
And then once they get a certain age to a certain weight, then they're finished out with grain. But it's still a combination of grain and grass.
Okay.
Grass fed. So we feel like for our operation, that's what does the best for us. It's what's most profitable. It's what keeps the animals healthy, keeps them happy. And we take a lot of pride in being able to produce all of their food and then have them born and raised and slaughtered and prepared here in the county, you know,
right.
for everybody to enjoy with us. So it's for me, it's nothing new because it's what I've always grown up with. But the reviews so far of people that have gone from buying their meats, you know, at other places to buying ours, and you can taste the difference in local
oh,
meats.
You totally can.
So, and on top of that, you know, with my diet and the way that I've been dieting, you know, that's nice to have too.
Right.
I could just throw a steak on the grill and be good with that, you know, for a dinner.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome. Well, Cade, I want to thank you. I want to congratulate you on the 91 pounds lost and all of the energy that you have and all the good things that are happening for you and have been since you had your inciting incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had mine with the type 2 diabetes diagnosis. Yours was jumping off of a tractor and hearing something pop in your knee. I think we all kind of need a catalyst in that way. Well, not all of us, but some of us, you know, it really takes something scary to get us on this journey. And I want to thank you and congratulate you for everything that that you've been able to accomplish thus far. And thank you for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
Had a lot of fun.
Well, this is episode 11 for You Can't Outrun the Fork, and I want to remind everybody to have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.